Blessed are the peacemakers. Elder John Longdon. John Longdon, Conference Report, October 1962, pages 25-27. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. From this scripture, which is a part of the Sermon on the Mount, I gather there is a peace to be had. It is available for all mankind if we desire it. Peace can be had. We must study and learn of God's desires for us. We must pray about it. Indeed, we must live the law. Then we have a peace in our hearts and will truly be peacemakers, the children of God. I believe in the scriptures as they have been restored. I believe that we can have peace in a troubled world. I believe we can have peace in a troubled home. I believe we can have peace in a troubled life. It can be had for the price which I have stated, not for money nor for any material amount. I said we must study and do the things which will make for peace. Paul, the apostle, in his epistle to the Romans said, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another, for the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." Paul had an evidence of peace. Here was a man, yes, who had fought the Christ, who had fought the principles which will bring peace, yet after he had received conviction of the truthfulness of the Savior's message and of his divinity as the Son of God, he received a peace in his heart, and he could not be swayed from righteousness but used his energies, his talents, in going forward to teach this great message of which he received a conviction. Yes, Paul did the things which will bring peace into the hearts of all mankind. Peace can only come to individuals, communities, states, nations, and the world by the acceptance of the greatest story ever told, by acceptance of the greatest life that was ever lived, by acceptance of the greatest example that was ever shown, by acceptance of the greatest teacher who ever taught, the author of salvation and exaltation, the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Christ, the divine Son of God. This I know in every fiber of my being. The gospel of Jesus Christ has always been the gospel of peace, regardless of when there has been a dispensation of the gospel upon the earth. I recall the words of the Lord to the prophet Joseph Smith, which indicated that there is no change in the gospel of Jesus Christ, even in this dispensation. In the midst of great persecution, when the saints were being persecuted in June of 1834 at Zion's camp on Fishing River, the prophet Joseph received a revelation from the Lord which is recorded in the Doctrine and Covenants. "Come, lift up an ensign of peace, and make a proclamation of peace unto the ends of the earth." We, here today, 128 years after this revelation was received, can visualize what has been accomplished towards establishing peace in the earth. Think of it, we see, as we look back over the span of time today, the thousands of missionaries who have been out in the world to carry this message of peace to all mankind, unselfishly postponing their schooling, leaving their homes and loved ones to deliver this message which will bring peace into the hearts of men. We visualize the erection of 14 temples. We visualize 356 stakes organized and over 3,000 wards in many branches, 68 missions, approximately 12,000 missionaries out at the present time, delivering this message of peace, literally to the ends of the earth. From study and from prayer, there comes great faith which motivates all who have a firm and solid conviction of the truth. There is born a desire truly to be publishers of peace. I think of a mother writing to a son in one of the missions which I have visited in the South Pacific. He had indicated to her, knowing her circumstances, a widowed mother, the possibility that she was having financial difficulties, and he earnestly wanted to stay to fill the 2.5 years required in a foreign mission where a language has to be learned. He let me read the letter she wrote him in return. "Son, you will stay out on your mission even if I have to scrub floors to earn money sufficient to keep you there." Then I think of a husband and wife who had 5 sons go out into the mission field. The 6th son had reached the required age to go. Not having sufficient funds, they went to the bank and placed a mortgage on their home to assure him finances to fill his mission that he might carry this message of peace to mankind. I am grateful for that kind of faith. In May we had a missionary conference on the island of Rarotonga in the Cook Islands. All the missionaries had arrived but 2. These 2 were 9 days on the water, coming over 640 miles in a small craft, being buffeted about the Pacific. And I want to tell you, you can be buffeted about the Pacific in those small boats, inter-island boats. One of these young men had been made the counselor in the mission presidency at the conference, and it would be unnecessary for him to return to the island from which he came, but he said, "The work has just begun there, and we can see real fruits of our labors, and I would like to go back." Though he was going to be bounced about in the same type of craft for another 8 or 9 days, this he did that he might deliver his message of peace to the island people. Faith-promoting stories like these could be multiplied thousands of times if time permitted. When peace comes into our souls, we have a desire to share it with others, as Paul of old. I am grateful for all the mission presidents of the South Pacific. I spent 10 months down there in the last year and three quarters. All the mission presidents of the South Pacific are opening up their homes, entertaining and teaching men of state, leaders of government, business and civic groups, teaching this message of peace. It has been my privilege to attend many such occasions. While on one of the large ocean liners in the South Pacific recently, I visited with the captain. He related that he had had many of our young missionaries on his ship over the years, and he said he had been deeply impressed with young men of such fine caliber. He had observed they didn't drink tea, coffee, liquor, or use tobacco. Their language and conversation was clean and above board. They appeared to be morally clean. They did not take the name of the Lord in vain. He admired their integrity. He said, "You have the greatest Peace Corps in the world." I sincerely thanked him for this truthful statement. Then I reflected, as I thought of this experience, not only are the full-time missionaries a Peace Corps, but this Peace Corps extends, including all members of the church. Truly the greatest Peace Corps in the world, with the full and true message of the Lord Jesus Christ, if all members, individually, accept the responsibility to teach this message of peace by example as well as by precept. In contemplating this responsibility for the entire membership of the church, I quote from a talk given by President David O. McKay, "The gospel of peace should find its most fruitful effects in the homes of church members. Children to be healthy and happy should have a favorable mental, emotional and spiritual atmosphere in the home. It is inconsistent to go abroad to proclaim peace if we have not peace in our own lives and homes. Truly the home should be the birthplace of peace. Then we have a religion in action as we take advantage of all the opportunities within the church, through the priesthood quorums, the Sunday School Relief Society, MIA, young men's and young women's organizations, the primary, genealogical organizations, institutes, seminaries, ward choirs, welfare, building projects, to mention some of the organizations within the church which will help to keep this message of peace alive in our hearts. Hundreds today are witnessing these demonstrations for peace through the true Church of Jesus Christ throughout the world. I pray that we in our hearts here and all members throughout the world will recognize the opportunity which is ours to serve individually and collectively as messengers of peace, truly children of our God. It is within our power. I pray that we will put aside any hostilities that there may be individually or collectively towards the teachings of the Master, that we will accept them fully and wholly, not in part, and do our utmost to show by example our true love for this great message of peace. The prophet Joseph received a revelation from the Lord, Doctrine and Covenants. The voice of the Lord is unto all men, and there is none to escape, and there is no eye that shall not see, neither ear that shall not hear, neither heart that shall not be penetrated, and the rebellious shall be pierced with much sorrow, for their iniquities shall be spoken upon the housetops, and their secret acts shall be revealed, and the voice of warning shall be unto all people. By the mouths of my disciples, whom I have chosen in these last days, may we appreciate more fully through the sessions of this conference, the great privilege which is ours to be partakers of this message of peace, that it may be in our hearts, in our cities, in our towns, in our communities, in our states, in this nation, and in all nations. For I testify that Jesus is the Christ. I know it in every fiber of my being, and I pray that we will remember his words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." May this be with us all this day and all our mortal lives. I humbly pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.